Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Betfair's Racing Only Better podcast. And of course, you've been with us all week as we have been doing our Cheltenham daily shows. And we've got to the final one, but don't worry, we also have a Saturday preview show for you coming. So this isn't even your last podcast of the week. We are recording this on Thursday morning, looking ahead to Friday's racing. Need to timestamp that because obviously, specifically in the first race, fields may well change, ground may well change. Before we go any further, don't forget Betfair's multiple offers throughout the week. There's a free bet on horse racing multiples every day of the Cheltenham Festival, but you will need to opt in, you will need to read the T's and C's, you will need to do it responsibly, and also check your carousel for all the offers that might be available to you. We've got some extra place races coming up as well, but as with all things, we want you to have fun with it, but please do it responsibly. We've been promoting safer gambling on this show for a long time now. And of course, we want you to utilise that this week. There's loads of tools available to you on the Betfair website. They're easy to find and easy to apply, and it'll make your life a lot easier in general. Right. Let's get stuck in to day four. We will start with the Triumph Hurdle. And because of the Triumph Hurdle and Sergino, the only person to start with here is Daryl Carter, because you have been on this Sergino bandwagon for a very long time now, Daryl. It's been a roller coaster. It's been a roller coaster journey. Is he going to line up now? What do we know?
I know as much as anyone, really. I don't know. I hope so. I hope so, because I think he's the best horse in the race. He's got the wow factor. Look, it's difficult, really. Like, I can't leave a 9-4 shot behind thinking that he should be a shade of odds on, personally, just because of the talk of the stable. You can delve into it as deeply as you kind of want to. But people are saying Hendo's had a brutal Cheltenham Festival. He's only had, one horse priced shorter than 9-1 this week? Like, that's a 90% chance he's going to lose every race he's in. Do you know what I mean? So I just don't see where his big chance have gone. If you go back over the last 3 years, he's had five winners, and three of those have been Constitution Hill and Shishkin at very short odds. You know, so I don't know. I think Lucia ran well in the Champion Hurdle. I think Lucky Place ran well in the Coral Cup. Like, I can go into this in massive detail, but I won't. But look, I'm with him. I think the hysteria has forced his price out, and I can't leave it behind. I'd rather bet him and bet him well and be wrong and hold my hands up and fall on my sword than be put off him and let him go and win and me feel like an idiot because I should have stuck to my guns. So that's where I'm at of him. I think he's the best horse in the race.
Yeah, totally get you. It's a tricky spot to be in, but can see your line of thinking there. Kevin, obviously, Joseph already in a winner's circle with a juvenile. He's got Nürburgring here, a horse obviously you know everything about. Is he your selection in this race? Currently 17-2 with the sports book.
Yeah, look, it has been really since Christmas time. Thought he ran a belter there. He was really strong on the clock the time before. Basically, everything went wrong last time. He was pocketed up in a steadily run race and finished with plenty of running left. You know, Joseph was happy to say immediately after that race, right, we're going straight to the Triumph. You know, would have had a right shout in the Boodles, even off top weight, I'd say. But and the new course and how much better that should suit him compared to the old course was the key in that decision. Ground's not going to be an issue, how much it dries out or not. And I still think he's really solid. Look, my view on Sergino, if I had to, and it's nothing to do with the horse himself, but just like I don't think he'll run. I strongly suspect he won't run. Like the vibe around Nicky's, whether it's fully justified or kind of small sample overreaction, you know, you can feel it with Nicky that he's just really in a negative frame of mind at the minute. The owners have another horse in the race. I just wouldn't be surprised if they say, look, take a pause and go to Aintree, would be the way I'd be, you know, to guess. But just reading the situation, I can see it going like that. And I better give a mention to the Mighty Bandit. I know me and Daryl were very sweet on him when he made his winning race course debut, and he beat Lark in the Morning and Harsh that day, and Lark in the Morning and Harsh ran basically to the pound what they did when finishing first and fourth in the Boodles the other day, and he absolutely mollywhopped them in a really strong time. Scope bad after his run at Christmas, had a little bit of a wind up after, changed hands. He'll be 1 million to 1. but it just it wouldn't be the greatest shock if he showed up well, because I think there's an awful lot of talent in there. And best of luck to Warren Greatrix with him. Hope he's turns out to be a very good horse for him.
Yeah, currently 33-1 on the sports book. One of the outsiders in here. TC, your view on the triumph?
Well, the forecast has worsened for Thursday and Friday. Expecting 4 mil today from 11 o'clock onwards and 3.5 tomorrow. So if that has a bearing on your selection, just note that. So Gino, the horses are sick. What I gather they're doing with them, they're scoping them and they're blood testing them in the days leading up to it. And the ones that fail that are getting pulled out. And the ones that obviously are scoping clear, they're running. But the problem is a lot of the horses that have been absolutely fine are actually pulling up and running well below par. So massive fan of Sugino. He's just one of those horses, even though he's already hit freeze on the exchange, he's one of those horses where you're just going to have to let it win and not back it. I mean, I tipped up Doddy the Great yesterday, and when I came out of the bet for a loss pre-race, because I just couldn't have him on my mind, and he just fell in a hole after the last. In his possibly likely absence, and the owners have a fair say in what runs. I've had a little bit on Mighty Bandit at 50s. Now it's clearly a massive guess. You know, he apparently bled when he disappointed. He's had a wind up since. But on the evidence of his debut win, I think he's overpriced. He's currently been trimmed into 33s, but he's 48 on the exchange as we do this. So Mighty Bandit, a very, very small bet.
Okay. On we go then to the county hurdle. This is the first of an extra place race for you. 5 places here in the 210 at Cheltenham, the county hurdle. And your market leader currently is King of Kingsfield, 9-2 market leader for Gordon Elliott. Luda Sudden there, 9-2 as well for that team Skelton. We've seen them to good effect on the Wednesday and handicaps at the Cheltenham Festival so far this week. Absurd, 7-1. Those are your top 3, Kev. How are you playing this race? Have you got something at a bigger price, or is your focus up at the top of their market with those Luda Sud and King of Kingsfield?
Myself and Daryl there, if you mentioned the King of Kingsfield with a view to this kind of Christmas time, but look, he's short enough now. Look at the way the handicaps are panning. Look, I think that the British are holding them really well. And it's not a super strong view, but you have to give a good mention to Fabois. Absolute agony for myself and Tony selecting him last weekend, and like he really was a good thing beaten. I thought it was a particularly poor ride from Harry Skelton, if I'm being 100% honest. Really should have won. But look, gets the run off the same mark here, and six day turnarounds far from ideal. But look, it won the race last year, and look, I could really see the case. He's still kind of a 16-1 shot or something like that, and that would be my inclination. For the best trainer of handicappers in the UK, Dan Skelton.
Go on, the Dan Skelton. Daryl Carter, please. Are you King of Kings fielding still?
No, he's a bit too short for me now. I mean, Lure de Sud is the same price, but I loved that run in the Betfair Hurdle last time. And if the ground's going to, you know, if there's more rain, as Tony says, then conditions going to be right for him. I'm just not sure whether he wants a flat track or not, but a mark of 135 is obviously well within reach for him. I'm liking that bet for hurdle form. I want to keep that on side. And just to give a mention to Zenta as well, as the other one, who was 3-4 as a novice last year, picking up a grade one at Aintree, having been third to Lossy Mouth in the Triumph Hurdle. A really eye-catching run at the DRF last time. And she could be a real force to be reckoned with going forward. She could be a proper grade one horse. So She'd get my vote along with Lourdes Sud.
Okay. TC, are you playing the extra places?
No. I wanted to be with Absurd, but the rain is kind of like putting me off that. So I'm going to revisit him tomorrow once I know what the ground is like and whether we get, you know, any significant rain. I thought Walk and Risk was very, very interesting. This race is three shy of filling, another handicap that just hasn't got the maximum field. I couldn't see hardly any pace in here. Westport Cove, I've got with a question mark, and the most likely leader was Auchan Risk, and you know he's already a pound lower than winning the Betfair Hurdle last year. And but the problem with him is I think he wants decent ground as well. But I can fully see him getting an easy lead, and he's come down to £10 lower than winning the race last year. But cutting to the chase, I'm backing Favoir on the exchange, win only because there's a massive blowout potential after the short turnaround that Kevin said. But everyone saw he was the best race on Saturday. Everyone knows he won this race off a £2 lower mark last season. He's actually £4 winning off of that Sandown run. And, you know, if it had been ridden anywhere near optimally, he'd probably be £6, £7 in here, well in here as well. So I'm taking, I don't care if Skelton's got off to ride Load of Sud. Tristan Dole claims free, so that's neither here nor there for me. So yeah, I think Favoir's probably got the best chance on form. He's got the best chance on the clock. And currently trading at 18 on the exchange, that's where I'll be doing my business, 16-1 or bigger.
Okay, on to the Albert Bartlett we go then. Darrell, I'll start with you here because it's Reading Tommy Wrong that's obviously the selection of a whole host of runners for Willie Mullins, for Paul Townend. So he's 11-4 at the top of the market. Dancing City 5-1 in there. Then you've got a couple of UK chances: Gidley Park for Harry Fry, Captain Teague for that man Paul Nicholls. Then it's back to Willie Mullins, High Class Hero, around about 15-2. In terms of the Grade One hurdle races at the festival, this is one that we can all have a decent opinion in, get a decent price, because it does seem pretty wide open, despite the fact it's Reading Tommy Wrong who sort of surfaced to the top of the market because of the Paul Townend selection.
Yeah, is it? I don't know if it's just because of that, because I thought he did really well at the Lord's an Ace to win. He
Well,
hit.
no, it's not. It's not. Sorry, you're right, but you know what I mean. It was sort
Yeah,
of all
yeah.
about.
It's obviously plays a big. I think that's probably what's pushed his price, you're right, into sort of 11-4 rather than 4-1, really, isn't it? Yeah, and that's sort of a bit of a tax you have to pay if that's the horse you like. I think he's the most likely winner. I wouldn't be going mad about the 11-4, to be honest with you. But he's the most likely winner for me. I thought he did a lot wrong in the Law as an Ace. And he still picked up in Atlantique, who I felt had the run of the race. And it was over a trip too short for him. I think he's a real strong stayer. He's got a smart turn of foot. He's got speed. He's shown winning over 2 miles. I think he's a horse really going the right way for me. And he's improved with every single run. So I do like him. I couldn't. There's no reason for me to take him on. Respect the English Challenge and out of Dancing City, but I'm hoping it's Reading Tommy Wrong is the one to be with.
What about you, TC here? Do you think it's the right favourite?
No, I think it's a little bit too short for me, but I haven't got a massive opinion about the other horses apart from Johnny Who. Now, obviously, I was very keen on him last week in Dublin when we did our festival preview, and nothing much has changed. On his score anyway. Again, I'm going to be playing win only. There's three places on the sports book, so that forces me to play win only on exchange. He's 14s top price for the sports book, and a little bit bigger on the exchange at 16. I just think the step up in trip, that's the one angle I've got here. He was coming back for more in the cello. He travelled really well against Gidley Park over 2 mile 4, and he just like dropped away in the straight. I just think a test of stamina is probably what he suits. Now, I'm not a big fan of the stable, and I very rarely back a John Joe horse, but I just can't have him really. I just can't work him out, his MO. But what he's got here, he's got a horse that just screams stamina in his pedigree. He's a brother to a 3 mile winner. He's a half brother to a London National winner over 3 mile 5, and he's down one over 4 miles. So you'd have to think, on all known evidence, that the step up for 2 mile 4 to 3 miles is going to bring out improvement. It will need to, because, like I said, he's up against a much higher rated Irish horses. But I think 14s is a fair price win only, and you'll probably get a little bit bigger on the exchange as well.
All right, well, look, on we go then to the Gold Cup itself. And for all there has been flaws in this Cheltenham Festival, which we will be discussing on Weighed In on Monday, and all has not been 100% rosy, one of the big highlights is hopefully going to be the Gold Cup itself, which, Kev, you've flagged up that, you know, it's just brilliant that the biggest race of the week is so deep. You know, you've got a class red hot favourite in Gallop and Deschamps, 11 to 10, top of the market. But in behind it, the likes of Fast or Slow, 5 to 1, Jerry Colomb, 10 to 1, Lahont Press, 11s, Brave Man's Game, Corrick Rambler, Hewick. I mean, you know the list by now. It's just brilliant. I'm so glad they're all lining up. Obviously, we don't have Shishkin, but other than that, top class. I love it.
Yeah, look, the way the week has been panning now, we really want and need the Gold Cup to bang. And all the ingredients are there, like you say. Like, this is what a championship race should be. It's deep, it's high quality. Like, very little would surprise within reason. And look, we have a champion up the top. It'll be fascinating to see what price he goes off. One assumes he'll be odds against. But, you know, if Willie keeps on rocking, it'll be fascinating to see where he ends up. Look, I think he's just better than these. I think the rain and potentially more to come is going to help him. He's going to be an easier ride. Could I look someone in the eye and say, have a bet at the Shades of Odds against? It's difficult when the field is so deep. So it all depends on what your stomach for these type of things is. You know, I'd fully understand anyone chasing around the bigger prices. You know, you can indulge in the without market. Might be the sensible thing to do. And look at if you're that way inclined, Gentleman's Game is one that I'm really interested in. You know, Mouse Morris has had a couple of run really well. And look, it's far from ideal that we haven't seen him since he beat Brave Man's Game, you know, last year. But he's been, you know, the vibes have been good in the last couple of weeks. I think he stays really well. He's unexposed at the trip and has always, you know, hinted that he could be very good. So of the many that you could go with in the without market, I think Gentleman's Game is the most interesting one to me.
Okay, I feel like this could be a race where there's going to be three different tips in here, whether it's full market or without market. So, Daryl, we'll come to you next. Whose name would you like to throw into the mix?
Lahont Press. I think conditions have come right for him. Stepping back up to 3 miles, back left-handed. Again, I mentioned on the preview that I can't get that Brown advisory victory out of my head. I didn't see a whole host of pace angles. Maybe I'm wrong. And I was hoping that they would be fairly forward with him. And if he can get into a rhythm, I think he'd be there or thereabouts for an each way bet.
Yeah, I can totally see that. And as you say, the rain coming down is not going to hinder him in any way at all. It's been a quiet week for Venetia Williams, but it could finish with a bang. And TC, over to you for a final say on the Gold Cup.
Yeah, possible pace maps, and it is possible. Maybe probably why I got Brave Man's Game, Gallop in the Champs, Jungle Boogie, and the Royal Whacker for what that's worth. I don't know how it's going to pan out. Obviously, Shishkin not running has taken away one of the favourites' major form angles, form rivals. The fact that he's not running Shishkin maybe gives you a pointer to Sugino, but we will see there. But yeah, obviously that's made Gallop in Deschamps' task all the much easier. With that in mind, I can only see two horses really winning this, and they're Gallop in Deschamps and Fast or Slow. We've obviously got a lot of history together. One's 2.18 on the exchange, which I wouldn't lay. Like I said, I think he's a genuine even money chance. And the other one is Fast or Slow, is 7.2 on the exchange. So probably won't be having a bet, probably won't be tipping, but I think there's only one way to play this, and that's Fast or Slow at 7.2 if you are going to have a bet in the race. But no massive opinion, because I do think Gallop in Deschamps casts a big shadow over it, and I think it's probably a winning one.
Okay, winning shadow from Gallop in Deschamps. Then can't wait for it, though. Gold Cup, best race of the week, as it should be, and I'm really looking forward to it myself. We're going to skip over the Fox Hunters because we won't waste listeners and viewers' time by talking about a race that none of us have a particularly strong view on.
I'll give a shout out to someone on Twitter who's written a 4,500 word piece on this. It's called Darren Pierce, Darren with two R's and an A. Very, very good preview. It's not something I would do. And there's a charity angle with it, with his son as well. So I just want to give him a plug.
On we go to the Paddy Power Mares Chase, the 450 then. 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs. And Dino Blue is an even money favourite for this. Obviously has the form with the boys, the likes of El Fabiolo, Gentleman to me, be running in those grade one races. So she's a right favourite at even money for this, for the Mullins team. But she's taking on another JP horse in Limerick Lace, 7 to 2, and then Alagor de Bassi from the same yard at 9 to 2 has had a revival of late. Daryl, I will come to you first here. Others in here, obviously, that's just your top few in the market and really the main ones to focus on. Is this as simple as Dino Blue just being better than these?
Quite possibly. I feel like she's got a bit of a question to ask answer over the trip. She took the last two home with her in the Grand Annual last year, and she was readily outsped by Moscada coming up the home straight up the hill. I thought Allegory Vassi was a little bit of value in the race, second to Impervious last year. I'm not sure if she's the most robust in a fight in a finish, but I think that's piece of form is over this trip is right up there with anything in the race. And she got back on track last time at Ney, so I thought at 9-2 she'd be a bit of value considering she went off at 13-8 favorite for this race last year, and perhaps Dino Blue just may have a stamina doubt.
Okay, yeah, people focusing in on that stamina doubt. Are you Kev?
It's similar to the mare's hurdle the other day, isn't it? We know Dino Blue is the best mare. We have a little bit of a stamina doubt, but our class is probably going to pull her through. She would have won the champion chase by a margin yesterday if she'd run in it. I think that's hardly in any doubt. And look, she'll probably win this, I'm sure. If the stamina doubt was worrying you, you have the without market there for you. And I pick up plenty of positivity about Limerick Lace. I think the stamina is going to be no issue there. Conditions are going to be no issue. She looks better than ever this season. And look, it should be up, if not five, second five in the without market. And I could give you some encouragement there. But my thought watching the finish of this race, Vanessa, would be you could have been a champion chaser, but you took the soft option instead.
Well, and that's a rinse and repeat thought, isn't it, from Lossie Mouth earlier in the week, let's be honest.
Very important. Very important, these races, Vanessa.
Yeah, absolutely. Mare's races. TC, have you found a bet in here?
No, to be perfectly honest with you, but I would agree with Daryl. I think Allegory de Vassi, who's only actually got 3 pounds at the adjusted adjusted ratings, to actually fine with Dino Blue, and obviously she's got proven stamina. She's got, obviously got good Cheltenham form, finishing second in the race last year. I think, aunties and uncles. I mean, if this was over 2 miles, Dino Blue would be 2-5. So you are getting compensation about the stamina down in the price. But yeah, Allegory de Vassi, 9-2 each way. I agree with Daryl there that if you're going to have a bet in the race, I think that is the solid one, but not very spectacular.
All right, what about finishing with a flurry then in Martin Pipe TC? Because the 5:30 last race on the last day, 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs, and it's not a race to miss or forget about because, of course, this is a race that has thrown up plenty of decent winners and it is an extra place race for you. You've got 5 places here. Again, another handicap that hasn't filled, 23 going to the start. Quai de Bourbon, is it? It's 3-1 market leader in here from Waterford Whispers, been a talking horse for this for quite some time. 4-1. Answer to Cave in there, 6-1. But it's as competitive as you would expect, TC. You can have as many darts as you like at this because of that.
I think you'll only need one, and I think
Ooh.
it's and I, unfortunately it's quite a short price, and just as we've been doing this program, the fives in the marketplace is gone. But and that's the one you mentioned, Waterford Whispers. Now, whoever you've spoken to have mentioned this horse. Coming up to this, it's been the most probably talked about handicap horse. His price has come down respectively. And yeah, I mean you can see why. I mean, obviously the stable are having a great festival so far. Two Grade One wins going into Thursday's racing. And this horse just obviously screamed Cheltenham handicap when finishing second last time. And just was given a really easy out of it. And he's still finishing in front of a horse who finished a great third at the DRF behind Maxim. Yeah, it's like I said, two wins before that. One of them beat Answer to Caife in getting a load of weight. But obviously that horse who runs here has improved since. The handicapper didn't miss Waterford Whispers, giving him an extra 6 pounds. But I suspect a mark of 133 isn't the limit of his abilities, given what we saw under a very gentle ride in second last time. So around about 9-2 on the exchange, I think no matter where you play this race, you have to make sure you don't lose if he wins. So Waterford Whispers for me. I didn't really fancy much else in the race. Very much like Fierce Man today. It's like, it's not the kind of price I want to chip or back at. But I found it very hard to get away from him. Waterford Whispers.
Okay, just the one dart for TC then in Martin Pipe. Daryl, how many darts would you like in there?
As many as I can have, really. I agree with Sandy. I wouldn't want to lose on the race if Waterford Whispers wins. So you'd have to keep him on side. I suppose the other one I like is though Castle de Motts, who was obviously very well supported for the Betfair Hurdle in his first start in Britain. I thought he went through the race, which was a really, really strongly run race, perfectly well, jumped well, travelled strongly, briefly, looked a threat. And then I thought he just emptied out a bit. And I just thought he looked like a horse that was desperate need of the run. They had mentioned this race before the Betfair Hurdle as well. And he's off a mark of 133, which is surely something he's going to leave behind going forward. Kieran Callahan takes the ride for Willie Mullins. They've got 29% stroke rate together, which is a fair whack. And I can see a bigger performance coming from the five-year-old. So Castle de Motts just might be as unexposed as the top two, but just might be that bigger price.
Okay. And Kevin Blake, who would you like to throw into the mix? Last but not least.
I'll go for the same form line, but a different horse, to Waterford Whispers, answered the Cave that finished second to him. He was giving Waterford Whispers £10 because of the way, and like TC says, he's actually like improved since, but he's £6 better off. The British handicapper has been a bit more sympathetic to him than Waterford Whispers. Well, it wouldn't be like him to handicap connections rather than horses, but there you go. This would be aside from the form chance, it would be a magnificent throwback. You know, Terence O'Brien, one runner at Cheltenham, small numbers operator, but well able. Had a winner the other day, and it would be a proper throwback and a nice way to finish things if it happened, given the way the week has gone. But the horse is a genuine chance. I think, as much as anything, we haven't seen him in a handicap, but I think a big field handicap would suit him, given the way he goes about it. You know, he's a strong traveller, and there'll be no pressure on him. John Shinnick, you know, is less experienced than some of those he'll be competing with here, but he's well able. And answer to Cave for Terence O'Brien for County Cork. Wouldn't it be lovely?
Lovely. All right. Well, look, guys, that wraps up day four then. All we need now from you is your naps. Before we do, don't forget all the offers available to you on your carousel. Betfair users out there, go and have a look. You need to opt in, you need to do it responsibly, and you need to read the T's and C's, please. You've got a free bet on horse racing multiples as well. That offer goes on all week. Loads happening for you, but of course, do stay on top of your game by using Betfair's safer gambling tools. Today's tool of the day is timeout. You can pause from playing with Betfair, and you can set your timeout to press pause on your account for up to 30 days if you need to. That's just one of many safer gambling tools available to you. So please do utilize them. Naps, guys, naps. Kevin, your nap, please.
When I look enthusiastic, I know you'll always pick me first, yeah. Vanessa. Nürburgring in the Triumph Hurdle, please.
Beautiful. If you can make it two from two in the juveniles this week, we'll applaud you on this show. TC, your nap, please.
I only had three bets so far as we're recording this. Fave Wah, Waterford Whispers, and Johnny Who. Johnny Who is the one I've had the biggest bet on so far, so therefore Johnny Who is my nap in the Albert Bartlett.
Look, boys, thank you very much as always, and we still have one more show to go. We'll be looking ahead to the Midlands National on Friday morning. When we record that, we'll be full of running at that point. Full of running, I tell you. But for now, listeners, viewers out there, thank you so much for joining us on our daily Cheltenham Festival shows. I hope you're having a good one. I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you're doing it responsibly. But join us again where we'll be previewing the Midlands National and more for Saturday too. But for now, have a good one. That was Racing Only Better.